This is the Business's Mission podcast. Business's Mission. I'm Gaia Boyd, your host.
The transition from living for God to living with Him. It's not complicated, but it's life-changing.
Here we are again, and I myself listened. I mean, I usually do, but when I listened to our last podcast about fasting, Bill was on his 40th day, and I became curious. I don't speak with Bill every week, so I became curious. Is this guy still alive? Is he still fasting? What's happening with him? So here we are again, and I see Bill on the screen. Bill, welcome. It's good to see you.
Hey, Gaia. It's great to see you again and to be connected with our audience. We're so glad everyone tuned in.
Yes. And you look well. I don't know.
I feel very well, Gaia.
Do you feel well, Bill?
I'm healthy, strong, alert, and I have more energy than I've had in a long time. I feel very good.
So the last time we talked, you were on your 40th day of fasting. And what I can remember from the podcast from 2 weeks ago is that you, you know, only had tea, coffee, water, more tea, maybe some. I think you told us that you had one spoon of peanut butter, but 40 days, nothing. So, Bill, how long did you kept going? Because you didn't know at that time yet.
Right. Well, can I review a little bit of my theology of this to kind of set our listeners on the same path that I'm thinking about?
Yes, so of course, please.
I don't think of fasting as going without food. I lean pretty heavily on the verse where Jesus said, when he was asked if he wanted some food, particularly it sounds like lunch, by his disciples, he said, I have food that you guys don't know about. My food is to do the will of my Father. And so if we replace the word food with a legitimate translation of the Greek word that just says nourishment, I think we have a closer idea to the way I think about this. And so I ask the Lord to feed me every day, to give me the nourishment that I need. And I don't, therefore, I just was never hungry, and I never felt weak, and I never felt, you know, like some of the symptoms that I felt the very first time I tried to fast for 3 days and almost died. And so I have the experience of going without food, which was very unpleasant to me, versus the experience of changing my resource or changing the source of my nutrition and asking the Lord to do that. So I'm a person who doesn't believe that the food that Jesus mentioned was metaphorical. I think it was had some kind of reality to it, even though it may not have been necessarily the physical food that we see. I think he was nourished. And so to answer your question, I was relying on the Lord's nourishment for 58 days. And then we had a weekend, well, actually 2 days together as a family with all my grandkids and my children and sons-in-law. And I felt like the Lord said, this is a good time to stop. Otherwise, for the time that we are together, maybe this is going to be too much of a focus, too much of something on people's minds. And we didn't want to influence the time we had together with them perceiving that I had been starving for nearly 2 months. Because that wasn't true. That wasn't the way it was being experienced by me at all. And so I began to eat on the 59th day after I began on October 1. So I think it was December 29th. But again, my experience was very inconsequential. It wasn't a significant experience because I was very satisfied every day. I felt great, had good energy. I didn't feel like I was sacrificing. And one of the consequences, I think, of fasting for me is that I want people to see that Jesus is the hero of the story. or this little chapter, it's not me being somehow super spiritual or super committed or self-disciplined or something like that. I'm really uncomfortable with all those kinds of conclusions because I always want Jesus to be seen as the one who is making life happen for us and the one that we're focusing on and essentially the hero of our stories. And so if I'm the one making this incredible sacrifice and doing something really weird, people are going to see me as the focus of the story. But if I just say, well, he actually supplied me with nourishment for 58 days, then I think we can see more legitimately that he's the hero of the story. And that's where we always want people to land as they hear our testimonies. And so it was just a great experience, but it was non-consequential. It was just a normal life, you know, is like normal days. I just felt like everybody else would feel. So I wasn't using self-discipline. I wasn't being sacrificial. I was just leaning on him in a way that probably people don't talk about too much, but I feel like they should. And again.
Well, it is kind of unheard of, Bill. So have you heard of other people?
No, I typically hear most people go for 40 days because of scripture. I think that seems to be kind of the norm long term. But on a previous assignment to pray for really understanding how to repent for the sins of my ancestors over the city we lived in China, we went 48 days that time. But it was a very similar experience. I wasn't hungry, I wasn't weak, and nobody could tell. And
you were so talking, we went. Do you feel...
Sorry.
Did your wife join you, or did you feel... Why are you saying we?
I think of the Lord and I in partnership in a pretty tangible way. So I don't want to ever do anything apart from him. And so if I go to the grocery store to get some milk, I want to go with him. I want him to go with me. And so we go to the store. If I wash the car, we wash the car. And so it's just a mindset that I've tried to adopt. And I think it's the consequence of abiding. From John 17 in the latter verses, 20, 21, those, we see that Jesus says that relationship he has with his dad, where he is in his father is in him, that he gives to us. And so if that's actually true, then I can never live independently of him. Everything I do, I can choose to live on my own resources, but that's a very bad idea. And if I choose to live in him, as the scripture says, then I'm just assuming we go together.
And Bill, we talked about it 2 weeks ago. You know, the reason or the that you felt to start because of some businesses that were already for two businesses for a few years taking too much of your headspace. Maybe you can explain yourself what... I didn't understand, I didn't hear that you were like, hey, I want to have a breakthrough, you know, now it needs to be really successful, even though, of course. But what was the aim? What is your desire? What was your... Can you explain? You shared a bit in the last podcast, but give us some more light on it.
Sure. And I think a lot of people will agree sometimes they feel stuck. So maybe that's another way to explain it. So I have two businesses that I'm the majority owner of. And I have felt for some time that the season for me has changed and I should not be in that role. I should be exiting those companies and I should be able to focus more on podcasts and doing some other things that are a little bit more appropriate for me.
So in the future, you might be more easy to reach, Bill. This is a cheap project.
To our fans, Gaia has every right to be complaining about my availability. And so while I have every intention of being available, It's often not the case. And so I'm sure that's...
Let's continue.
And I want to express my appreciation to her for her patience in maneuvering around my complex schedule sometimes. So,
well, when I really needed you, you were there. So, but continue, Bill. You know, a sense of being stuck, a sense that you want more space in your head and your agenda for passing on your legacy or your walk with the Lord, you know.
Right.
This podcast or other podcasts.
Yes. Hopefully this one will go and grow. We have some great plans, everyone, for this year's podcast. We're going to add some more interesting topics and subjects and little elements of our own lives that you get to see, hopefully, including riding bicycles, which
that's one is online. Yeah. The last one because I was like, that was the time that you were fasting, like in your 35th day, maybe in the 30th, and so you are still almost beating me on the bike, but continue, Bill. We're talking about the businesses, and of course, you know, we are like, hey, what was the I don't want to use the word goal, because I don't feel that's how your walk with the Lord is. Okay, now I'm going to fast and that's my goal. Or so continue about the businesses and the space you want.
Right. Let me make one comment, because you bring up a really excellent idea. What I'm trying to accomplish is a greater intimacy with the Lord in the fasting process. So I have this idea that I can always make relational investments with Him, or actually with them, if you think of the Trinity. And relational investments can get me something called, that I'm just referring to as, relational equity. That means when I invest in any relationship, it actually matters. And sometimes the relational equity would result in favor, would result in some results, something you can actually see, and that would be relational dividends. And so I need some relational dividends to get me unstuck in these two business situations. So what do? Well, I make relational investments. And so when I invest, I'm just simply saying, okay, Lord, I am so trusting of you that I'm going to trust you to feed me. I'm going to trust you to give me nourishment during the season. And so I'm not going to use the normal methods, which are perfectly good methods, because I feel like that doesn't put you in the focus the way I want you to be in the focus and the way I want to focus on you. So here we go. So I'm going to be trusting you. And I think in one case, we have a good result already from one of the companies. So this was a company which I had never seemed to find the right team to run it. And so we've had a couple of what I would call false starts. And I felt like the Lord wanted me to continue financially supporting it. And He provided the funds to support it with. And so I just kind of funneled them on. But we never really got the right team that would take it and run with it. And it's a vertical farm. And so it's kind of a new technology. But when He said, wait for the team to rise up and then it'll be clear what to do, I probably false started on who the team should be. And we tried to, you know, move ahead with certain team members, but in the end, it didn't really accomplish that. Until recently, I was able to reach out, and I was prompted, I think, by the Lord to do this, to a good friend. And I'll keep both him and his organization anonymous for the time being. But I called him to tell him, I think the Lord wants me to gift this equipment that we've developed to you for your purposes, for your use in an African country, is in Nigeria specifically. And so as I called him and greeted him, he goes, hey, Bill, wait just a minute. I want to tell you something before you speak to me. I feel like this year is going to be a fantastic year. 2026 is just going to be a great year, is what I'm hearing from the Lord. And I think it has to do with agriculture. And so I said to my friend, well, this makes a lot of sense, possibly, because I feel like we have something to help you along your journey to have a wonderful year in agriculture in Nigeria. And so my friend was asked to start a number of centers of agricultural excellence throughout the country. And my vision of a center of agricultural excellence is you'll have examples of every different kind of effective agricultural process that you could get your hands on. So you want to be able to teach this to people. And so as I shared with him my news or our decision, I also said two things. I said, I would love to come over and teach your students how to design the next generation and make it personal to your country and also for your own produce, for the things that you would like to grow and for the raw materials, the basic materials that are available in the country so you don't have to consider importing stuff. We'll get everything domestic. But the second thing I would love to do is come and teach a class on George Washington Carver's method of receiving agricultural designs and inventions and products to see if we can't learn from him and release the people in Nigeria to get more of what we would call heaven's downloads for their own agricultural pursuits and excellence and just the general need of feeding the people of the country.
Well, Bill, that when I hear that, and when you know you just shared that's one of your desires to, or a sense maybe, a desire, or sensing God is directing you that way to pass on some of the experience you had in China. And listeners, there we have quite a few podcasts online on downloads, on maybe I didn't call it downloads or insights from heaven, or you know, however you will call it. But it looks like there's more in this relationship than handing over your business, that it also opens doors for a nation, you know, for people on several centers to share.
That's what we're hoping. And it does seem like that's a definite possibility. But because George Washington Carver, for those who may not know, that was born as a slave from in the U.S. in the 1850s and became just one of my heroes for his ability, actually his just technique of walking in the morning with the Lord and just asking the Lord to teach him things. And they all had to do with plants and food. And he just is this incredible example of a humble man who learned to listen to God and receive from the Lord all of these kinds of inventions. When he was invited to the U.S. Congress to speak one time, they allotted 10 minutes for him to tell a little bit of a story. But he came in with about 8 different products, including ice cream and I think house paint. And he invented all of these from the peanut. And so they asked him, well, Dr. Carver, how did you learn this? How did you know what to do? And he said, well, it comes from a very old book. And he said, well, what book? And he said, well, it's the Bible. And then they kind of came back and said, Dr. Carver, the Bible doesn't mention peanuts. We don't think you got your ideas from the peanut, from the Bible. And he says, well, that may be true, but the Bible talks to me about the creator of the peanut. And I just started talking to him about his ideas of what we could do with the peanut. And yeah, I just think that is the genius of what he learned to do. And he can pass that on to us, and we can do exactly the same thing. We can learn to just take our walks with the Lord and ask him for the kinds of information that he needs us to have for our own destinies to be fulfilled and for us to have the ministries that we are really supposed to be able to have in the world today. So I'm very excited about that, particularly because he was an African-American. Now I can return to Africa and share the story with them.
Yes, and, you know, for the listeners and the business you developed in first, I think it started in China and then Texas. That's vertical farming, right? That's not mentioned yet. So, and what I hear you say, there might be more ideas that God might want to give in the whole vertical farming, and what kind of produce and how to do it. And I see you smile. I think you're looking forward to maybe finding out. And next time I need to find you, well, we are then in the similar time zone. That might be easier, Bill. Bill in Africa.
Okay, I have an announcement for you and for our listeners, a special announcement that I've never mentioned to anybody. And that is, we are essentially donating all of our equipment, but the designs of the equipment, we're not going to pass along as an exclusive design. That means we can also offer the designs to anyone else and the standards of how to operate the equipment to anyone else in any situation that would like to explore developing a vertical farm, a vertical farming ability in their countries or in their ministries. And if you want to get a quick peek of what we're talking about, you could go to the website called Boterna, BOTERNA.com. And so, Chaya, this is a special treat for your listeners.
I will make sure it's in the text, you know, in the description of the podcast, so people can look it up and find out more. And you know, I know several here in the Netherlands were involved in it. So Well, thank you, Bill, for this. We didn't make it a quiz. You're just giving it. And what about the other business, Bill, the business you have in China? What is happening there?
The other company is a manufacturing facility, and we just have some issues that we really needed to iron out with a company that we have a licensing agreement with. And it has not been an easy 2 years, and we've seen things differently. And this morning at 5 o'clock, I received an email, or I read an email from one of our lawyers who's talking to their lawyers, and it was more optimistic than I've seen in probably 2 years. It feels like we may be on the verge of a breakthrough. My desire was to have both companies sort of resolved by the end of this month. So after having been stuck for 2 years, I thought 1 month is enough time to solve both of those issues. And so we still have another week left this month. I can't say that it is resolved, but I can definitely see a path for where it would be resolved and everybody would be happy. And that's what I'm hoping that we can achieve.
Well, a reason for the listeners to listen again in 2 weeks' time, because... but, Bill, what I hear is... It's not kind of like, okay, you're fasting and you stop because there was a breakthrough.
That's correct. I stopped. I always try to follow instructions, especially when they come from the Lord. And so I have asked him, should I go back to fasting after we had our time together as a family? And he said, well, what do you think? And so I thought about it and I said, I feel like I can be as dependent on you even when I'm not fasting as when I am fasting. And what we really want, or what I really want as a goal for this, is just the intimacy of the relationship to be at such a sustainable level, natural level, that just the intimacy is better, is greater. And so I have had a number of lessons when he would wake me up early in the morning, so between 2 and 3 o'clock usually, and he would teach me things. And I hadn't been having that as often as before. And so, like, for instance, with a company where the relationships aren't good, one of the things he said is, don't look at the people, It's never about the people. It's always about the spiritual activity behind me and behind them. And so focus on that. And therefore, just don't be upset with the people, no matter what's going on. And I had forgotten that or taken my eye off that ball. So it was really encouraging to hear.
So are there other lessons like that, Bill, that you, the spiritual side, what did it bring you?
Well, there was a specific assignment to do a word study that he gave me. And the results had some positive and some negative thoughts to me. Something that I was glad to read about and something I didn't want to read about. And so many of us know. Yeah, sorry, go ahead.
Is this about wrestling?
It is about wrestling. Yeah, did we
talk about it in the last podcast? In the last podcast, a little bit. You touched on, you shared about that.
Yeah.
And the relationship, do you feel it's changed or changed, but it increased, it more depth, more natural? How do you look back?
Well, one of the kind of ways that I can measure the relationship would be to say, well, how many times during the day do we touch base? How many times during the day do I think about him, or do I just check in with him? And many years ago, he gave me the idea that checking in every 6 minutes throughout the day is a good idea. And he says it doesn't take much time, just 30 seconds to turn your attention to me and see, you know, if I have anything to say. And then if you have anything to say to me, you got 30 seconds to get it out. So that became kind of an orientation toward a goal or a standard. And sometimes instead of every 6 minutes, it might be every 6 hours that I seem to touch base with it. But after an experience like this, it's almost like you never don't touch base with him. You're always aware and always have the channel open. So maybe a good way to express it is, how open is my channel of communication with the Lord? And from, again, one of my favorite passages, John 17, 20, 21, if you say, well, how often was Jesus open to his dad? I think you come to the conclusion, well, he was always open to his dad. He was always listening. And how often did Jesus' father have ability to give him his own thoughts? And, well, that's kind of constantly. And so then you can get that result of, oh, I never actually said anything my dad didn't tell me to say, or I never did anything he didn't tell me to do. And I just love that intimacy between the two of them, that relationship. And that's what they offer to us in John 17. He goes, that same glory that I have with my dad, that relationship, I'm giving to you guys, to the disciples, and to those who believe in me because of your words. So I feel like that's a legitimate thing I can claim. And so that just, the whole nature of the relationship, of awareness, of listening, of speaking to him, it just is more natural and intuitive and not weird.
But, Bill, I'm also listening to you also with, you know, the questions our listeners might have. They might want to ask you questions like, what does your wife, Kitty, what did she think? Wasn't she worried? What?
I think if we had just been married a year ago, she would be worried. But she's kind of gone through this with me a number of different times. And in the beginning, probably the Lord didn't give us too many challenges. And so she had a chance to develop a history of seeing, okay, this may be a strange idea, but here's good results after the end of it. And so she has enough track record to be able to trust me. But she was very concerned. And so, you know, for our listeners, I'm not 40 years old anymore. So I'm 77. And she was worried about my muscle deteriorating, so your body can begin to scavenge itself if it runs out of energy. And I don't know when that begins to happen, but I had never heard of anybody quite going this long and not eating. And so I did something to help her not worry, and that was I researched what should my weight actually be for my height. And I said, honey, I've found out that if I'm below that weight, it might begin to happen where my body might consume muscle to, you know, keep going. But if I'm not below that weight, then I still have fat stored or extra energy stored that the body can use if it needs to. And so I never got to my suggested weight. Okay, I was always a couple of pounds above that. So I meant to convert this to kilograms for our audience. So I apologize for acting like an American and not converting it.
And another question, mm-hmm. I'm sure it's on people's mind. How did you start eating again? First, a few bites of salad, and how was it?
Did I mention in our last podcast my other experience with fasting for 3 days?
Yes, I know that you went a whole week and then you went to a big buffet.
Oh no! Well, here, let me tell you another story. So the first time
you told it in the last podcast,
only for 3 days, right? And I got sick by having some tuna salad, and okay. So I knew that you are supposed to be very, very slow. So, yeah, the last time I fasted a lengthy time, 48 days, I did have everything at a buffet. Essentially, it's a buffet. So I had chicken and pork and beef, and I didn't have any trouble. This time was similar to that. So we had a lot of meat for our meals, and I just began to eat normally. And it was fine. I didn't have any trouble at all. So... I think Bill, that supports the idea that I am being fed, which means I'm not the hero of the story. I'm not going without food. I'm just switching my source.
Bill, the natural laws, it seems, you know, the laws that are there innate, you know, that we are used to. You keep surprising that. You know, what is the next thing, Bill, that you walk over water or?
Well, again, I'm not the hero of even my own story. So
if the Lord says so, come, you know, walk across the ocean to go to Nigeria.
Well,
let me know.
Sets up. That would be fun. You know, I would love to fly here, but I still have to have an airplane to, so, you know, to this date, I haven't been able to fly without an airplane, but we will meet the Lord in the air. So I'm thinking the scripture says all of us will be pilots one day.
So, to come to a conclusion, it's not all solved yet. You know, it's not like, okay, you do a long fast and now all the storms are, you know, laying down, all the heavens are quiet, you know, Bill flies along smoothly. That's what I do here is, and what I do see, you know, I see on screen, the joy. And I mean, that's how we called the last podcast, Joyful Fasting. And that there is a joy in the natural way that you are in closer communication with the Lord. It's like if you see it as a pipe, you know, it's like the pipe became wider. It's more easy to natural to connect. And I'm kind of wondering, about your muscles, did you try to carry your wife over the threshold? See if that's still, yeah, don't do it. I mean, you don't want to drop her at this, but.
Well, I have been doing a little bit of remodeling on the place where I keep my airplane, the place where I keep the Lord's airplane. And I had to climb up and down a ladder all day for the last several days. And that was totally fine. There's no problem whatsoever. And so I think I'm as strong as I have been, you know, in the past. There's no weakness at all. And there's no muscle deterioration, I can tell. And I'm doing a little bit of walking on a treadmill as well.
Okay, well, Bill. good to hear you're still alive. I mean, 58 days, amazing. But like you say, it's, yeah, at least it does to me. It's, yeah, it's contagious. Not contagious that I'm like, oh yeah, now I'm gonna fast, but it's contagious. Like, wow, there is growth in walking with the Lord, and there is deepening of the relationship. And yeah, thank you for sharing. Thank you for being open about it. You mentioned in the last podcast, you know, that I think for many years you wouldn't be that open. That's what I picked up. And but maybe at this time, you're like, okay, I don't have to worry anymore that they make me a hero.
Yeah, that's right. This is what we want to keep reminding people, that Narnia is closer than you think. So the whole realm of the kingdom is a bit like Narnia. It's this magical adventure, mystery to be solved. And so I think life is supposed to be quite interesting for us, and it still is for me. And that's so encouraging.
Well, and I must say, I'm learning while walking with you, Bill, also not to worry about, for example, this podcast. Already for quite a while, I've been asking Lord, and I actually get a lot of mails of, marketeers who are like, man, your podcast can do so much better with this and this and this and this. And I'm like, yeah, I know. So I throw them quickly out. I know. But it's like, hey, how can we do it? How can we, grow the influence and the message and spread the message? And I met someone around Christmas. So it might be that there are new ways of continuing and to just what I want to say, to not worry about it, but to continually give it back to the Lord and say, Lord, this is your podcast. I'm doing what I can. And looking forward to how you're going to guide in the following steps. So, we'll see how we continue, but I've been encouraged. Also, I actually, one of the board members, we had a vision day with BAM Netherlands last week, and someone who just joined the board, he's like, it's basically because of the podcast that I'm sitting here. So that was encouraging to hear. And he is a great, he has a lot to offer the movement. So, Bill, sometimes you don't see or hear a lot. I mean, our listeners don't. I listen to podcasts and I don't think of, oh, I'm going to write them and tell them how. We once in a while hear something. But, just, again, sensing that God says, hey, just be faithful, continue, and trust that he guides. So thank you for being an inspiration to me and for many of our listeners.
Well, thank you so much, Gaia, for the opportunity to be your friend and to share our experiences with your audience.
Yes. Do you have a wise word in finishing, or do you want to pray? What please close with us, Bill.
Okay, let me just pray. So, Papa, how do you want us to pray right now to you? And so I just ask in Jesus' name that the Holy Spirit will come close to all of our listeners with the specifics of their own destinies in mind and disciple us into the men and women that you have destined us to become, take away the barriers for us listening to you and being agreeable and willing to change our lives, but also reveal yourself in all of your wonder, all of your glory, and all of your love for us as someone so attractive, so desirable, that there's just nothing that we want to do more than just run to you and be united with you and to surrender to you and to enjoy your presence in our lives throughout the day. So just do that for us, Lord, and we will be forever grateful. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Well, listeners, see you again in 2 weeks' time. Thank you for listening.
Everyone.
This was Gea Goert from the Netherlands. Remember to visit bamoose.com and check out the course on Kingdom Mindsets for business, life and work. And in 2 weeks' time, we will be back with another episode. Follow us in your favorite podcast app so you won't miss the next one.